in a lot of different ways, and you know, that was a tough battle for me, and it was a tough battle for Pam. And again, I remember the day that I heard the voice of God, and he said, pull in the church. And I pulled in that church that day, and you know, he asked me, he says, Keith, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And you know, I grew up as a Lutheran boy and went to Catholic church with Grandma, and I told him, I said, sure, I know Jesus Christ. And he said, but if you died today, do you have the certainty in your life? And we battled back and forth for a little bit, and I never really could get to that place. And finally, I said, I don't know, and that was the day that God humbled me, and I got on my knees, and I prayed, and that was the last drink of scotch that I had ever had, candidly, in my life. Last week, we talked about, the title of the message was Lip Service, and we were talking about relationships. We had a wonderful Valentine's party on Friday night. If you missed it, you really missed some great food. It was good food and good cheesecake, and we just had a great time with it. Yeah, cheesecake was good, man, and I don't like cheesecake, but it was good that night. The thing that I wanted everybody to understand was that last week we talked about lip service, and our relationships with Christ is more than lip service. Our relationship with our loved ones are more than lip service. There has to be action in the midst of it. And, you know, James says, well, you show me your faith, you know, this way, but I'll show you my faith through works. And I honestly believe that we have to get to a place in our life that we show our faith through our actions, and not just candidly through lip service. Today, I want to talk about, in the title of the message, is Never Lose Your Anchor. And I don't know, Candy's here today, and Candy Dumas shared this story. And Candy, if I don't have it 100% correct, just one of these days, Candy's got to come up here and share this story with you. But Candy and her family had a boat, and I don't know if you know too much about the Gulf, but if you go out into the Gulf, you kind of measure your distance by rigs. Oh, we went out to the first rig, or we went out to the second rig. Well, on this one specific day, Candy and her husband and her son, they're in the boat. They fish. They've had a great day. They're getting ready to go. Son is pulling up the anchor. Husband's cranking up the boat. Well, the motor doesn't start. And the son dropped the anchor. Well, they're out pretty good distance. If you're out to the first rig, that's a long ways. And then all of a sudden, the boat began to drift. And the boat drifted because there was no anchor to hold it steady. Well, Candy says that, you know, that night, you know, they were drifting in the water. A storm came up in the next one or two days. I forgot. How long? About a week, Candy, y'all were in the water? 3 days. But a storm comes up, and it's about to capsize the boat. They start throwing out the fish that they caught, because if it capsized, they didn't want to be in the water with the sharks. They have no water. They have no telephone. They've got nothing. They are truly just drifting. So when the storm comes, it really begins to make them drift. And, you know, again, Candy and them thinking, this is it, this is done. Well, long story short, they put in Freeport, Galveston, Freeport. They finally get picked up somewhere close to Corpus Christi. Now, that's a long drift in a boat. And I can't even imagine what your mind would be going through. One as a father, one as a mother. You got your child in the boat. You have no telephone. You have no water. You've got nothing. And you're just out there adrift in the boat. Well, I wanted to tell that story because, candidly, we can never lose our anchor. And if you're a born-again believer, you've been anchored through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it is imperative for us not to lose the anchor that's going to hold us steady in our life. We've already said Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan wants to cut the anchors that you and I have, and candidly, he wants us to drift. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we need to hold steadfast to the anchor that you and I have in our life. There's four little simple points to this message, but I want to begin with first, you have to use your time wisely. You know, Ephesians says, so watch your step. Use your head. This comes from the Message Bible. And make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate days. Now, honestly, I could paint this message to go, okay, you know, if you don't share with Christ with somebody and they die, then, you know, you're really... And what I want to do is turn this different today. I want us to look at, if we use our time wisely, how great could we make someone's life? You know, God has saved us. God has anchored us. God has helped us to get where we are today. And he promised us in Scripture, life is not going to be easy. He said there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations. And the idea with this whole thought process is that you and I were here for one reason, and that is to expand the kingdom of God. We're here so that we can help somebody's life be better. And one of the things that we have to do, as the Scripture says, so watch your steps. You know, things don't happen by happenstance. People come in front of you for a reason. Things happen in front of us for a reason. So watch your step. Use your head. And then candidly, make the most of every chance that you get. Because you get one chance at this. And we are truly living in some desperate times. When Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, one of the things that he was trying to share with all of us is that he was communicating that there's a sense of urgency because of the evil's persuasiveness. See, what Satan wants to do is that he wants to take things from us. And there's the same sense of urgency today because our days are difficult. You know, we talked this morning, Sandra White's going through her challenges. Dwight and Carolyn Raven, they're driving to Oklahoma this morning. Larry Reed has got his challenges. You know, Colleen, the list goes on and on. We got a lot of challenges in the church. But the whole idea here is that we need to understand that there is a sense of urgency because days are difficult. But what you and I need to do is raise our standards. See, we try to lower God to meet our standards, and God says that doesn't work. What I want you guys to do is raise to my standards so that we can be water-walking people. We can rise above the circumstances in life. We can rise above the situations in life, and we can walk on top of whatever Satan is attempting to do. But we have to raise our standards, we have to act very wisely, and we have to do good wherever we go. See, if you understand how important you are to the kingdom of God, if you understand the power that you have in your hands, I promise you that you would never, ever be the same person, and you wouldn't operate in the same manner. Peter says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. You know, sometimes people just kind of walk in a daze, and I want you to know from the time that you put your feet on the floor, you're working for the Lord. Until the time you put your feet in the bed, you're working for the Lord. And God is going to put people in front of you. God is going to put people all around you, and it is important for us to do good for the kingdom's good. You have to be on the alert, Scripture says. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. If you are not anchored, then you're going to drift. Ask Candy and her family, how does it feel when you have no power and you have no anchor and you're out there just drifting? There are tons of people in the world today that are drifting. Well, who's going to supply the anchor? We are through Christ Jesus our Lord. But if you are anchored in Christ Jesus, then you have found stability. And if not, then you're going to drift and you're going to be tossed to and fro. And I don't know if you've been tossed to and fro before, but it's not a great feeling. It's a tough place to be in our life. And again, Satan wants us drifting in the waters of life. And God goes, no, find the anchor, anchor it, because what he wants us to do is build our house upon the rock. God says, don't build your house upon the sand. Don't do it easy. It's going to be a little bit more difficult. But, you know, if you do it on the sand, when the wind and the waves come, it's going to wash your home away, your life away. You'll be adrift. But if we build our house on the stability of Jesus Christ, if we build it on the Word of God, let the rain come, let the wind blow, let everything come our way. And the Bible says if you build it on the rock, you and I have got a house that's going to stand. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Here's the other piece that I want you to understand. Time is a gift. We take time for granted. But you see, time's a gift, and you have to use time wisely, but you have to walk carefully. And you have to walk strictly, and you have to walk with a purpose. I mean, how many times have you gone in a store or walked in the mall and, you know, somebody's sitting here doing this on their phone, you know, and then they run into you? Even today now you're seeing people do this on their cars while they're driving, you know, and you honk your horn and they're like, And they give you the sign language, you know, that lets you know that they're there. But it's like, come on, you know, use your time wisely. Be careful. Walk carefully. See, if time is a gift from God, what do you think Satan's going to take from you? Your time. And if God has given you the time as a gift, and Satan takes it because you allow him to do it, then we affect everybody around us. See, if you don't do what God has told you to do, it affects me. If I don't do what God tells me to do, it affects you. So it is important for us to use the time that God has given us wisely, because time is precious. The Bible says time is but a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And we need to make the most out of the time that we have. See, you and I have been set apart. When we prayed to receive Christ, we have righteousness. It means that you and I have a right standing with God. The book tells us in Matthew to go out and be a witness to the Lord. The Bible says that you and I, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in the book of Acts, that we have miraculous power to be a witness to the Lord. We are to be committed in our Christian lives. We are to be faithful, and we're to have a quiet time. Anytime in Scripture where things really got rough and Jesus kind of seemed like he was drifting away, he just pulled himself back on the anchor and spent time with the Father. See, if you lose your anchor, you'll never live this righteous life that God wants you to have. If you lose your anchor, you're not going to be the witness that God has called you to be. You're not going to be able to change lives of people that need to be anchored. You're not going to live a committed life, and that's one of the challenges with Christianity today. You're not going to be faithful, and you're never going to have quiet time because you're drifting and you're more concerned about the fears of drifting away. And God says, just throw out your anchor, and I'm here. What does Scripture say? When you and I have done everything that we know how to do, just be still. Well, how are you going to be still if you're drifting? You can't. So what we do is throw out the anchor. And the anchor is what holds us. And when you lose your anchor, you're going to drift and you're going to be tossed to and fro. Look at Ephesians 4:14. It says, as a result, you and I are no longer to be children. There are people that have been in church life across the world for 50 years, And they don't know any more today than the day that they came in and they met the Lord. And our Father said, don't be a child anymore, and don't be tossed here and there by waves that will carry you about by every wind of the doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Man, mankind today falls prey to all of the nonsense that's out there. And if you and I are anchored, we won't do that. But if you're adrift, you're going to grab hold of whatever you can find. Life is too precious to waste. And what God wants us to do, church, is that we have to seize every God-given opportunity that He gives us. You know, everybody that walks in front of you has got a problem. Everybody in the hospital has got a problem. The day that we went up there and Larry took a bad turn and all the bells and whistles went off because he was coding, there was a lady that has a family member. She went straight to Jackie and she said, I want to stand here by you because I know it's a tough place to be. See, there are people in this world that are coding every day. They're coding because they don't have Jesus Christ. They're coding because they don't have an anchor. They're coding because of whatever life has tossed their way, and we need to be the ones there that maybe they don't have the strength to pick up the anchor and throw it in the water, but maybe you and I are the ones that need to help them throw it in the water so that they can have some stability in their life. See, if we look at people and you use your head and you use your time wisely, I promise you that you're going to look at people differently. 1 John says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. And it says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And the second point of this message is never forget your first love. Do you remember when you prayed to receive Christ? The very first time that you prayed? You wanted to tell everybody about what you just did. You were so excited about you know what you did. I mean, you know, and Pam, we've shared this story before. Pam and I twice, because the pastor that I had worked under, every time that we went out to eat, he would ask the people if they had a prayer request. And the first time I did it, they shut me down, and it was like, wow, that didn't work too good, you know. And then Pam and I went over to Albertsons. It was a food store, a grocery store here in Pearland. And Pam and I, you know, we're new Christians. We're feeling good. God has saved us. We're happy, you know. And we see this guy, and he's got this big bandage wrapped around him, and I'm thinking, hey, the Lord could heal him. Boy, I went over there and started to share Christ with him. I mean, Satan came out of him with every word that you could get. This is in the fruit and vegetable section in the store. Lord have mercy. He began to curse at me and scream at me. And my wife, you know, as any woman would do, you know, she left me. She didn't want to be anywhere around me. And I'm standing here going, oh, this is great. This is good, you know. And the guy had some issues. He had cancer, and he was mad at God, and, you know, rightfully so. And I was young enough, I didn't know what to say, so I went over to the meat section. It was colder over there than it was in the fruit and vegetable section. But it was a tough place to be. But what you and I have to understand is you can't forget your first love. You know, we're going to celebrate Valentine's. We're here with our spouses and our loved ones. You can't forget that first love. Our spouses, our children, our family are so important to us. But God is the most important thing in our life. You know, years later, we had gone to a convention. And I'm still trying to share Christ with people. And one side of this restaurant is a club. The other side is a very nice steakhouse. So I'm sitting at the place eating a steak. Well, our waitress comes by, and I said, is there anything that I could share or pray for you before we eat? And she just began to cry. And long story short, she made about 9 trips back and forth. But before the night was over with, she knelt next to that table and she prayed to receive Christ with me in that craziness of that restaurant. See, God's not a respecter person. And can you imagine if you took your time wisely and honestly, if you don't forget your first love, and you go out to the restaurants today and you ask your waiter or your waitress or anybody that comes in contact, is there anything that I could pray for you about? You will be amazed at what God will do through you and how much you could change someone's life. Romans says, do not be conformed to this world. See, if we're drifting, we're going to conform to the world because we're going to grab hold of whatever we can to find some stability. But he says, but be transformed. And how do you do that? It says, by the renewing of your mind so that you and I will prove what the will of God is and what is good and respectable and what is perfect. See, never forget your stability, and the stability is the anchor that you and I have with Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the day that you prayed to receive Christ, it ought to build more and more and more. You know, we counseled with somebody the other day, and Pam and I mean, most of the time life is good. There's some times that she doesn't like me. Probably more times than that, But, you know, I can honestly say that I love my wife more today than I did 35 years ago. I mean, she's an awesome woman. You know, she takes care of me. And I love her very, very much. But, you know, you can't forget the love that you have for your spouse. And you cannot in any way, shape, or form forget the love of your Lord. Matthew says, you shall love the Lord your God, not with your mouth. It says, with your heart and your soul and your mind. See, again, this relationship is more than lip service. And it says the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I got to tell you, I love myself quite a bit. I do. But he says, love that person just as you love yourself, Keith. See, one of the challenges for us in this life, if you see somebody hungry, go feed them. If you see somebody hurting, go help them. If you see a marriage that is dissolving, go help them put it back together through Christ Jesus our Lord. If somebody's in prison, go see them. If someone is sick, go lay your hands on them. You have to love them just as yourself. And if you don't forget your first love, you will be willing to go do what God has asked you to do. Is it scary? Yes, it is. Is it time consuming? Yes, it is. But the Bible says use your time wisely. Deuteronomy, here's the third point. And y'all have been so gracious to me recently. Y'all have sent me some letters and things. But the third point is don't get discouraged. You know, I know some people currently, like Jackie. She's been down there 13, 14 days. It's hard for her. It's hard to see your husband laying there, and it's hard to see the effects that life is having on your husband. That's difficult. And it's very easy to get discouraged. But look at what this says. Deuteronomy said, it is the Lord who goes before you. Well, that means the battle must be his and not ours. He will march with you. Well, see, he didn't say he's going to march. I mean, he's going to be there. His presence is going to be made known. You know, when people walk is one thing. When people march, it's something totally different. And the Bible says specifically, he says, I will march with you. He says, I will not fail you, and I'm not going to forsake you. Let there be no cowardice in our life. Let there be no flinching in our life. Fear not. And then he says, neither become broken in spirit, depressed, dismayed, or unnerved with alarm. Well, I got to tell you, that's easy to say. You know, one of the things that I've shared so many times with Pam and I, and we just need to continually lift him in prayer, but every 6 months, Dwight has to go back to the hospital. And every 6 months, he has to go through the testing. And every 6 months, he has to wait a week to find the results. And I got to tell you, after a while, that's got to beat you down. But every time that I see Dwight Raven, he is up, he is smiling, he is laughing, and even now he's going, God's got this, it's all going to be okay. And that's where you and I need to be in our life. And you and I cannot get discouraged. Went to the hospital the other day, somebody began to talk some negative stuff, and I said, listen, I love you and I care for you. But let nothing but wholesome words come out of your mouth. The Bible says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So let's speak life into this situation. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You know, one of the challenges that we have in our Christian life also is that we have to take a 10-inch journey. You know, it's very easy for us to have head knowledge. The day that I prayed to receive Christ, he says, do you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? And I said, sure I do. But you know, later on in life, I found out Satan knows who he is also. But what you and I have to do is, it's not lip service. You have to take a journey from your head to your heart. And it's 10 inches from your head to your heart. And it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And the challenge for you and me is sometimes we look at the situation as it is. And we have got to learn not to look at it as it is, but as it's supposed to be according to the Word of God. And that's why you and I cannot get discouraged at all. And it says, in all of your ways, not some of them, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He, our God, will make our path straight. See, there is an importance, church, that you and I find the anchor. Life has a way to set us adrift. And when it does, you're going to find yourself so far away. Not that God can't bring you back, but you're going to be so far away that you don't know what you're going to do. And that's the time that you need to give your heart and life to Christ, so that Christ can change your life and Christ will bring you back in. When Peter was in the storm,
can you hear me now? Thank you. Amen. I appreciate that. I need all the help I can get, let me tell you. But anyhow, the importance of this is that you have to find yourself, and the only way you can find yourself is that you and I have to be anchored through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans says this in the Message Bible. Since we were compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both of us and them, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious life God wills for us. It says God did it for us out of sheer generosity. He put us in the right standing with Himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess that we were in, and He restored us to where He's always wanted us to be, and He did it by means of Christ Jesus. Here's the fourth point that I want you to understand. You're not perfect. I know that's hard for some of y'all to believe. But you're not perfect. And here's the other piece. You never will be. The Bible tells us that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And one of the things that is so important for us to understand, whether we like it or not, you're going to drop your anchor sometimes. I promise you that Candy's son didn't mean to drop it, but he did. And sometimes in our life, we don't mean to drop the anchor, but we will. And sometimes we're going to drift away. And those are the times that when we as a family see someone drift, we need to go by and offer help and bring them ashore and go, let me help you. Let me get you back where you need to be. Or I said that you might climb in the boat with them and just throw that anchor overboard with them so that they can finally get stability in their life. I love Hebrews 22, and again, this is in the Message Bible. It says, so let's just do it. Think about that. Let's just do it. let's be full of belief. Let's be confident that we're presentable inside and out. See, when Christ died on the cross for us, it is no longer, church, about us. It's all about what Christ did for us. He's the one that took our place on the cross. And the Bible says you're not perfect. You never will be perfect. You have fallen short of the glory of God. But the greatest thing is when God looks at us, he sees us through Christ. And that's why we have righteousness. That's why we have a right standing. So it says, let us keep firm the grip on the promises that God has given us that keeps us going. How can Dwight keep going? Because of God. How can Jackie keep going? Because of God. How can Ann keep going? Because of God. How can Jackie keep going? Because of God. And when you and I are in a drift, how do we keep going? It is because of God and God alone. So here's what I want you to end with. First of all, you can't see it up there, but you got to use your time wisely. Time is so precious. And I can only imagine the people that you could come in contact with where you could change their lives if you used your time wisely. The second is never forget your first love. Gosh, he loved us while you and I were still enemies. He loved us. And it's very easy when life begins to make us drift that we forget our first love. We forget about God altogether, and everything else begins to take what is important. Third is don't become discouraged. I know that life wants to beat us down, and I know that there are people out here that would rather point fingers at us. Someone is helping us with some of the web things that we're doing, and they were writing the story, and there were certain things about my life I really didn't want to share. And she says, no, you need to share them. But I lived 8 years at the other church where people said, you're nothing but an old drunk, Keith. And the day that I had the opportunity to baptize people, I had a lady go to the pastor and said, what is that drunk doing in the waters of baptism? He has no right to baptize anybody. Well, back then it was hard for me because I was a young Christian. But today, if someone would say that, I would have to say you are 100% correct. I was an old drunk, but I am not a drunk today. I am a child of the Most High God. I have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I can stand with my head up tall because I belong to him. So no matter what life tries to throw your way, don't get discouraged. And the last one is understand you're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. And you know it's okay. Because the Bible tells us when we fall, all we do is repent. That was one of the greatest gifts that God gave us is repentance. You go back to him, you repent to him, and he goes, you're justified. It's just as if you never sinned. Now pick up and quit doing what you used to do and let's move on and let's get back to the chores at hand. And the last thing that I want you to understand is never, ever, 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 ever lose your anchor, because the anchor is the stability that you and I have in our life. If he can take an old drunk like me and give me an opportunity to preach to wonderful people like you, if God can change my life, there's not a life in this room that he can't change. It's all to the glory of God. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.